You're listening to The Family Podcast from PursueGod.org.
Well, hey, friends, Pastor John and I are going to butt into this family podcast because we have a conversation that I think a lot of parents need to have, probably with either with each other or with their kids. John, today, we're going to answer this question, is my child ready to get baptized? We got a lot of listeners out there who have kids that are 6, 8, 10, 12, 15 years old, and they're trying to help, you know, their kid answer this question. Maybe for some reason there's some social pressure for their kid to get baptized. Maybe one of their friends got baptized, and so they've come to mom and dad, or mom and dad have come to them and they've said, let's consider doing this. You know, this is something in our churches, John, that we've helped a lot of parents to kind of answer this question. And I think both of us have had moments where we've sat there with parents and kids and we've felt uneasy about this, that maybe the kid isn't quite ready. And that's why we're making this podcast episode, so that parents can think some of these questions through. Today, we're going to give four questions. But I think before we get into any of those things, maybe for you, why don't you just frame this? And why does this question matter?
Well, as parents, we're called to raise our children to love the Lord, to serve the Lord. I mean, we can't cause our children to put their faith in Christ. That's a decision they have to make on their own, but we can certainly lead them. We can create an environment where that's more likely to happen. And I think that's what God calls us to do. And so as a parent, the idea of my children wanting to be baptized is exciting to me. I love that idea of my kids wanting to publicly declare their faith in Jesus. But I want to make sure that they understand why they're doing it, right? I don't want to make this about me. I want to make sure it's about my child. Baptism isn't really about an age. You and I minister in a culture, Brian, where there is an age where a lot of the children in our communities get baptized. And so that's something that can create some confusion in the particular culture where we minister, that it's not about an age. It's about really understanding and owning genuine faith, that as we're going to talk about today, our baptism really is an outward symbol of an inward reality. And so hopefully today's podcast is just going to help moms and dads, like you said, talk through this with each other, but then also talk through it with their children to make sure that their sons and their daughters know what baptism really means, know why we do it, and that they're owning that decision for themselves.
Okay, so before we get to question number one, let's just clarify it for the parents. Because really all along in this episode, John, I think we're going to be encouraging the parents to think about this with their, to maybe even talk about this with their kids, think about this for their kids. But parents need to think about this for themselves as well, right? I think the first question we need to ask before we get into any of the questions for the kids is, what is baptism? What is baptism not? Because I think there are a lot of churches out there. There are a lot of ideas out there about baptism. Mainly, a lot of people think baptism is just a ceremonial thing. It's kind of a social club thing. What does the Bible say?
Yeah, I think the Bible says it's way more important than that. It's a step of obedience, but it's not required for salvation, right? It is a work. You know, baptism is a work. And we know from Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 that we're saved by grace. We're not saved by works so that no one can boast. We know that Jesus promised the thief on the cross that he would be with him today in paradise. Clearly, he didn't come down off the cross and get baptized. So baptism is not a private salvation moment. It's not when we come into relationship with Jesus Christ, but it's a public declaration that we have come into relationship with Jesus Christ. It's one of the ways that we can show all those around us that I want to identify with Jesus. I am following him now. He has the authority in my life. He gets to make the rules. That doesn't mean that I'm going to be perfect from this point forward, but it does mean I have a heart that is more and more inclined to obeying Jesus, to following him. And so baptism is outward, whereas our salvation is inward. And one of the ways we articulate it, even in our services, is that baptism is a visible symbol. It's something we can see of an inward reality, something that has already happened. You know, my child's classmates can't physically see the change in their heart. They can't see the new creation from the inside out. Now, they can see evidence that my child is a new creation, but baptism is one of the ways that we can publicly declare to others, I'm a new creation now. The old me has been buried with Christ. So picture what happens in a baptism, and we're talking about, you know, submersion here. So the old me has been buried under the water, buried with Christ, and the new me has been raised up to new life. Now, that doesn't mean, Brian, that our kids have to understand every theological point, that they have to have a full understanding of the Bible, but they do need to understand the basic principles of the gospel. And we'll get into those in this podcast, but they need to understand that they're a sinner, and they need to understand that they can't save themselves. And they need to understand that Jesus came and he lived a perfect life. He did meet the standard, and he died on the cross. And when he died on the cross, he paid the penalty that they should have paid, but the grave couldn't hold him. He rose again 3 days later. And by putting our trust in his finished work on the cross, we can have salvation. And so our kids need to be able to articulate the fundamental principles of the good news.
Yeah, so let me actually just ask a super basic question of you as a pastor. You know, I'm representing a parent out there who maybe is newer to church or maybe doesn't really even know so much about baptism. To me, the most basic question is, what is the qualification for baptism? Like, not forget about kids. Let's not even talk about kids. Like, even adults. When should, like, biblically speaking, when should a person get baptized? That's probably the most fundamental question.
And I would say it's when they understand the gospel and they have responded to it by repentance and placing their faith in Jesus Christ.
Yeah. So that's what we're getting at in these questions is, parents, we're trying to help you to understand or to sort of vet your kids, you know, as spiritual authorities in their lives so that you can help your pastor or help your kid to decide really what we would be helping any person decide. Like, have you really put your faith in Jesus? I mean, ultimately that's the issue, isn't it, John? If a 30-year-old came to you and said, I want to get baptized, you would basically be asking the same questions we're going to be going through right now.
I absolutely do ask the same questions regardless of age. So there is a vetting process we go through. And so when I sit down with someone who is interested in being baptized, I'm going to ask them specifically why they want to get baptized. And I'm going to ask them what baptism means to them. What does it symbolize? And then I'm going to ask them, what has Jesus done for you? And every now and then, Brian, you know, I'll have an adult who will tell me, Jesus has brought me peace. Jesus, I'm not lonely anymore. Right, right. Jesus has helped me see, you know, how I should be a better father. Those things are all great. Those aren't bad things. And Jesus, you know, does offer us help in this life in so many ways. But if they don't talk about the cross, if they don't talk about dying for my sins, because that's how heinous sin is to God, the penalty is death, then I'm gonna start asking more probing questions, and I'm gonna try and determine if they understand the gospel, number one, and have they responded to the gospel, number two. And if they haven't, I'm just gonna encourage them to keep searching, to keep asking good questions, to keep being in the Word, to keep learning more about Jesus and what he's done for them. But I'm going to encourage them to hold off on baptism until they have a fuller understanding of the gospel.
And you're not doing that but to be mean or to be a jerk. And parents, I want you to hear this. This isn't a punitive thing for your kids. We're not trying to, like, keep someone from being baptized. We're just trying to make sure that baptism, which is a really important symbol, we just want to make sure that it really is time for your kid to get baptized, just like either one of us, John, would want to make sure that 30-year-old guy really understands, I guess, even just not just that he really understands the gospel, that he's really responded to it, biblically responded to it in repentance and faith. And that's what these questions are about.
Absolutely, because I don't want them to have a false sense of assurance. Again, we know that baptism doesn't save them, but if one of the cool things about baptism is it does give me a point to look back on and go, no, this is when I publicly identified with Jesus. Mm-hmm. But if they publicly identified, so to speak, but they've never put their trust in him, I definitely don't want them to have a false assurance. That would be horrifying.
Right. Yeah. So that's, So essentially what we're saying to parents, we're talking to Christian parents right now. If you're a Christian mom and dad and you're trying to raise your child in the faith, which is great, you should want to do that. Essentially, John, at our church, like, we really lean on the parents to help us make this decision, because the parents in that kind of a situation, especially dads out there, if you're a Christian dad, you should take the lead on this conversation with your kids. We really believe that strongly. John runs our men's podcast. John, you speak to men all the time about stepping up and leading. And so we're encouraging you to continue to listen to this episode and then lead in having this conversation with your kids. Don't rush it. The goal isn't to rush the moment. It's okay. If your 8-year-old at the end of this episode and trying to understand these four questions, if your 8-year-old's not quite ready, that's okay. Like, maybe it'll happen 6 months from now or a year or two from now. And we'll talk about this at the end of the episode. There's still some really practical things you can do to continue to lead your kids. We're not saying tell them, sorry, you're not ready, and then they never get baptized, even in their teenage years or, in their 20s. You're trying to be intentional about leading them to a place of really responding in faith to Jesus if they haven't already done it. Now, maybe they have. And so maybe by the end of this episode, you're going to say, I think my kid's ready. That's great. It's not about being hurdles to keep people from entering the kingdom of heaven. Jesus called out the Pharisees for doing that. That's not what we're doing here. We're just trying to be biblical and appropriate in our leadership of our kids. And so question number one, John, here it is. Does my child understand the gospel? I think with our setup, I think that's the obvious first question. Does my kid really understand the gospel? This can be a tricky question for parents to answer. So kind of talk us through this.
Yeah, I think your child, especially if they're 8 or 9, is probably not going to articulate the gospel the same way a 30-year-old would in our example. Or, your 8-year-old's probably not going to use the term imputed righteousness in this conversation.
I don't know a lot of 30-year-olds that would use that either, John.
Yeah, true. Fair enough. But can they at least talk about and describe who Jesus is? Do they recognize that Jesus is the Son of God, that Jesus is the second person of the Trinity? Now, they might not even use, again, that term, but do they understand that Jesus is the uncreated creator, that even though he is God's son, he is God's begotten son, not God's created son? And again, I know I'm using some big words that the 8-year-old won't use, but do they understand that foundational truth of who Jesus is? And then do they understand what he did on the cross, that he literally died? He gave his life, the physical pain he went through, the spiritual loss that he experienced briefly, at least the fully man part of Jesus, who his relationship with the Father was broken when he took on our sin. Do they understand why they need him? And I would say, Brian, this is probably the part of the gospel that the young boys and girls that I do counsel with their mom and dad and do vet, they don't understand their sin problem. They understand that Jesus came and died on the cross. They've been going to Sunday school or kids church or whatever, your church has. They understand the what, but I think sometimes they don't understand the why. Why did Jesus have to die? And I say that specifically to young children when we're talking about baptism. When they tell me Jesus died for me, I ask them, why did Jesus have to die? I want them to be able to explain that their sin separates them from God, that they're a sinner and they cannot fix it on their own. They didn't need a teacher. They didn't need an example. Jesus was those things, but what they needed was a savior. They needed a rescuer because they couldn't do it on their own.
Yeah, we're not telling you to look for this perfect theological answer. We just want to make sure that your kids clearly understand, in our Pursuit series, John, we say saving faith is like a coin. There's two sides of the coin. It's number one, the right information, and that's the right information about Jesus. It's the right information about sin, in an age-appropriate way. But then the other side of the coin is the right attitude, that they have this attitude of faith that they really, I guess to a kid, I would say, do you understand why Jesus had to die for you? And then listen to that answer the question and see if they can see if they articulate it in a way to say, you know, again, it's not going to be probably the same kind of an answer that a 30-year-old man's going to give, but you're trying to sense if they have a personal awareness of their sin problem and what and why Jesus came to deal with it. And I would also say, John, a desire to submit to him. Now, again, that's a grown-up word, but that's, you know, the big word for that in the Bible is a heart of repentance. Like, maybe let's ask it like this, John. If a 30-year-old man came to you and said, I understand the one side of the coin. I understand that I'm a sinner. I understand who Jesus is. So they get the right information down. But what are some indicators with a grown-up, John, that they might not have the attitude of repentance, like a desire to allow Jesus to be the Lord of their life for a 30-year-old man? And then let's back that up and talk about it for a kid.
Absolutely. Yeah. So for a 30-year-old guy, I mean, probably one of the things that would be most common in our culture is a porn addiction. And not that there aren't some believers who struggle with porn, but what's his attitude about it? Is he repentant? Is he trying to break free? Is he making good choices? Is he changing his habits? Or maybe it's a guy who's living with his girlfriend. Mm-hmm. And when he first comes to Christ, he might not even know that's a sin.
Right.
I mean, because culture's not telling him it's a sin. But as he explores God's word, as you're talking to him, if you're the pastor in that situation and you talk about the fact that in God's eyes, that's sinful, that's not God's best for you, what is his attitude? Is his attitude like, okay, I need to figure out how we can live apart, or I need to propose to her. Like I need to do something based on this information you've shared with me, because I want to submit to God's authority. I want to submit to what Jesus would want me to do.
Yeah. And I, you know, we've both been in situations where we're talking to that grown up and they clearly don't have like a heart of repentance. A lot of times maybe it's his wife that wants him to get baptized, or he wants to do it to mend a marriage or something like that. And so those are uncomfortable conversations, but we have to just say it's not time, because the attitude of repentance is important. And again, we're not talking about, I'm talking about someone who just says, don't tell me I can't live with my girlfriend. God can't tell me that. I'm going to do what I want. A guy like that does not have the attitude of repentance. The attitude of repentance is what the people did after they heard Peter's first sermon in Acts chapter 2. They said, what should we do? Tell me what to do. Tell me what the next step is. I might be new to this whole thing, but my heart attitude is I want to follow Jesus. I don't know what that means yet because I'm new to this, but I want to follow Jesus. So what would that look like? I guess maybe what would be some yellow flags or red flags in a kid's life, in an 8-year-old's life, that maybe there's not a heart of repentance?
I think it's a child who doesn't submit to mom and dad's authority. Mm-hmm. I mean, they don't really know all the things Jesus wants them to do. That's going to be a lifelong journey. You know, I think for most of us, the longer we follow Jesus, the more we realize just how sinful we are, how sinful we were, even though he's changing us, because you start to hear things like, wait, even my enemies I'm supposed to pray for, you know, not just the people who are good to me. So, but yeah, does that child, and this kind of leads into the second question, but is that child following Jesus just in simple, observable ways, you know, ways that mom and dad can look and say, you know what, they know the expectation is we want them to make their bed in the morning. And now more often than not, they make their bed in the morning. Or, you know, they know the expectation is we don't lie in this house, and we haven't caught them in a lie in you know, weeks or months since they said they gave their heart to Jesus. So those would be some kind of age appropriate ways that you can just determine at home, and you're the one who's with your child, or maybe even the reports you get from teachers at school. Do you have a child that, you know, regularly was disciplined for being disrespectful in the classroom, and now they're not a robot, you know, they still get in trouble from time to time, but there is an overall pattern of, you know, wanting to do things that would please mom and dad and please their teacher, and most importantly, please God.
Okay, so I could hear a parent saying, now wait a second. It sounds like you're saying that my kid has to not be a sinner anymore to get baptized. This sounds a little bit like judgmental and works-based. How would you respond to that parent?
No, not at all. Your child's not going to be perfect, before they are baptized, or even after they're baptized, even if their salvation is genuine. In other words, they really have put their trust in Jesus Christ. I mean, Paul talks about in Romans 7, this battle between the flesh and the spirit, and not doing the things I want to do and doing the things I don't want to do. So they're not going to be perfect. But in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, we're told that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. I don't see any age limit on that, Brian. It doesn't say any adult who belongs to Christ is now a new person, or any teenager. So there should be some differences in attitude, even if you don't see major differences in behavior. Like, I can see a parent going, well, you know, even before my 8-year-old put their faith in Jesus, they weren't robbing banks. they weren't smoking behind the house. So how am I going to see this difference in behavior? Well, it's a difference in attitude, because it's a difference in their heart's posture. Do I see a heart that's more submissive now, or do I still see a heart that has pride in it, or doesn't want to listen to authority?
Okay, so let's say that there's a parent listening to this right now saying, okay, this is helpful, because question two, I think question one, does my child understand the gospel? I think they do. They've been to Sunday school enough. I think they know the videos. They know the words, right? But question two is a little bit trickier now. I could hear mom or dad saying, you know, is my child following Jesus in simple, real ways? And they might say, I still feel like they're disobedient. I feel like they're hard-hearted toward me. And even though they want to get baptized, they're still hard-hearted. How would you encourage a parent to kind of walk their kid through, like, saying no because of question two?
Yeah, I think I'm going to break it down into, you mentioned disobedient and hard-hearted, Brian, and I think I would deal with them differently. The child that is disobedient, which is every child, is still going to have at least episodes of disobedience. Sure. But when I bring it to their attention, they're repentant. They are sorry, you know, and you can tell. I mean, we know our kids pretty well if they're just kind of putting on the act, or if they're truly sorry. To me, that's a little different conversation than the child who is hard-hearted about it. So if the child is hard-hearted about it, I think I would just say, you know, when you confess Jesus as Lord, when you put your faith in Jesus, that means something. That means that we can't just say, yeah, I know what Jesus said, but I don't care. I don't want to do that. I want to do what I want to do. And so I think we need to just take some time. I think we need to give you an opportunity to count the cost of what that really means. I mean, that's what Jesus told us to do. Now, he wasn't speaking specifically to children, but he told all his disciples, you should count the cost of following me. And so I think that's the kind of conversation I'd want to have with an 8 or 9-year-old who is just really hard-hearted when they disobey. Again, if they disobey, but they show a soft heart, I think that's just part of the Christian life. That's right. Part of the Christian journey. But if they're hard-hearted, it would give me reason for pause.
Yeah, so maybe, again, this is a teaching moment for parents to go to their kids and just lovingly communicate. You know, just in there, we've got some videos in the kids section of Pursue God on this that can maybe help you to communicate this. Watch that baptism video, or watch the videos about, you know, asking Jesus into your heart, or being obedient, obeying your parents. Those are some devotional videos that you could do with your kids and have those conversations. And the message you're trying to get across is that when you become a Christian, it's not just saying that you think these things about God, you know, you believe these things about God. Becoming a Christian is also about, again, it's hard to, how do you explain repentance to kids, right, John? But it's also, the word we like to use is your attitude. Your attitude now that you're a Christian is not, I'm going to be perfect now, but your attitude is, when I make mistakes, I'm going to be sorry about it. I'm going to tell God I'm sorry about it. I'm going to tell my parents I'm sorry. So it really is a teaching moment to teach your kids to be tender-hearted toward God. And I think for kids, one of the easiest ways to do that is to be tender-hearted toward your parents. And I would say, mom and dad, don't hesitate to explain it like that to your kids. and maybe to say, if you kind of feel like that's not the truth, then just to say, why don't we hold off for a couple of months and why don't we pray about that? Why don't we talk about that in our family devotionals? Let's make sure that we, you know, Johnny, that you understand what it means to be tenderhearted, not perfect, but tenderhearted, right? Because you're trying to get across, John, that we're not asking for perfect obedience, because then that's going to send the message to our kids that this is about works and about your righteousness, which it's not.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we've been going through this sermon series at our church on David, and David is described as having a heart after God's own heart. And David had some major failures. Mm-hmm. He really blew it. But when he was confronted, look at his response. In fact, we've been contrasting Saul's heart and David's heart in a couple of those messages, that Saul justified his excuses. He shifted the blame. You know, he tried to point fingers at other people. And David just simply said, I have sinned against the Lord. He was convicted. He was repentant. He was tenderhearted. So that's really what we're looking for. Do our children have a tender heart when we approach them about sin, when they're, when they're called on the carpet, so to speak, that, hey, there's this action in your life that's not God honoring, or there's a rule you're breaking in our household. You need to honor your mother and father. What is their reaction to that? Is it a tenderhearted reaction, or is it a prideful and obstinate reaction?
Okay. Question three is maybe a little easier. It might be easier if you're being honest, but it might be a little bit harder to be honest as a parent. Question three is this their decision? I mean, mom and dad, be honest. Is this their decision, or is this your decision? Is this something you just really want for them? John, kind of talk us through that.
We're not saying, mom and dad, you can't lead them there. So again, we want to go back. We believe it's your God-given responsibility to talk about salvation, to talk about sin, to talk about Jesus. And so that's going to lead to conversations about baptism. So you can certainly lead them there, but are they making this decision because of their personal commitment to Jesus Christ, or because their friend did it, or because they know you want them to do it? So asking that question, why do you want to get baptized, to your children, and listening to their answer and allowing them to articulate, and listening for passion and excitement, right? Even if they know the right words to say, but you can tell they're just kind of disconnected from it, then that's probably, again, another time when maybe we would hold off. But so listen for personal ownership, listen for their desire, and celebrate it. You know, I just had a conversation with a family, and they had two children who wanted to get baptized. And it was clear to me that the older sister had a relationship with Jesus, had put her faith in Jesus. She could articulate the gospel. The younger brother wanted to get baptized primarily because big sis was getting baptized. Mm. And so I celebrated the fact with the little brother. It's so exciting that you want to talk about baptism, and it's so exciting that you want to know more about following Jesus. But I just think we need to wait. I think we need to give you more time to understand what following Jesus is really all about. I want to give you some more time to really understand, you know, how bad our sin is and what God thinks of it and why Jesus had to die. And then I gave his dad some conversations, you know, from the Pursue God library that he could have. So there was a step moving forward, but it just wasn't for the right reason for that child at that point in time.
How did the dad respond to that? Was it offensive to him?
It wasn't. Now, I've had a baptism conversation with a family where they were a little put off that I felt like they should wait. But in this particular situation, I think dad already knew that, right? I think dad already knew deep in his heart that's why the son wanted to get baptized. And I think in some ways it was a relief for him, for me to say, hey, I see the same thing you're seeing. Let's just hold off, but let's still be excited. You know, let's still be excited that they're investigating it.
I'm going to throw a curveball on this question. What would you say to parents who have an introverted kid, and they would say they would check all these boxes for their kid, but they're just afraid to like get baptized in front of people? How does a parent lead an introvert or a shy kid who doesn't want to do it, but kind of for the wrong reasons they don't want to do it? Like, all the other reasons are legit, and they're going to be missing out if they don't do it.
Yeah, I think that I would explain to that child that you're going to have scary things your whole life. And one of the beautiful things about following Jesus is he has given us his Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit empowers us to do things that otherwise would be scary. It's like sharing our faith, sharing the gospel, right? So that's how I would try to encourage them. This step of obedience in baptism, because it is a step of obedience. Jesus told us to do it. It's a command.
Right.
I would explain this is in one of the easier steps of obedience that Jesus is going to call you to make over your life. Now, I'd want to explain that in age-appropriate ways. You know, I wouldn't start talking with an eight-year-old about how when you're a teenager, the world's going to tell you to sleep around, but God's going to tell you to be celibate and save it for marriage. So I would come up with better examples than that. But truly, man, baptism in a lot of ways is one of the easier steps of obedience that God calls us to take. It's way harder for me to love my neighbor as myself than it was for me to get baptized. I mean, we do it in a nice warm baptismal font. We don't even have to do the cold water. So it's not that hard. And even for the introvert, I explained to the introvert. And so we do a baptism video at the church where we minister, Brian. And one of the reasons is it is really nerve-wracking to maybe have to try and articulate things in front of a 250 member congregation where all eyes are on you. But to be able to say, yes, I'm trusting in Jesus for salvation, anyone who has done that, if they have truly done that, should be able to articulate that in front of their congregation.
Yeah, so the last question, question four, do they understand what baptism represents? So what are the basics? And we have a video on this. Parents, make sure to watch that kids' video on baptism that kind of goes through these things. But John, why don't you just put on your best kid voice and walk us through this? You don't have to do kid voice.
Yeah, can they understand the symbolism of baptism? Again, in very simple, kind of basic terms, that going under the water represents the old me died with Christ. Like the old me doesn't exist anymore. I've died with Christ. I've been buried with Christ. And now coming out of the water, I've been resurrected. I have new life in Jesus. It really is a picture of the gospel. You know, Romans 6:4 says that we died and were buried with Christ by baptism. Now, it's not the baptism that buries us with Christ. It's a picture of being buried with Christ. And so really, again, baptism is this outward symbol of an inward reality. And we could even use some metaphors that our kids might be familiar with. You know, we could talk about when you're a member of a little league team, wearing the jersey isn't what makes you a member of the team, but it's a picture of being on the team, right? It's this cool visual symbol of, hey, I'm identifying with these other guys or gals on my team. Just throwing a jersey on doesn't make you a part of the team, just like baptism doesn't make you a Christian, but baptism is a great visible symbol of your relationship with Jesus.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, so you're just trying to make, I would add to this, John, one other thing is you want to make sure that baptism doesn't, the kids know that baptism doesn't save you, that this isn't something that you have to do, and then now God is gonna say, you're my child. You know, make sure, and this kind of goes back to question one about understanding the gospel. The gospel is that we're saved when we recognize we're sinners and we come to Jesus and we say, Jesus, I know you can save me and only you can save me. And when we personally make a decision to make him the Lord of our lives, that's when a person is saved. So baptism doesn't save a person. God's not waiting for a kid to get baptized. And I think that might even be helpful for a kid who's still wrestling or a parent who's saying, I'm not sure that my kid is ready yet. Just say, okay, good. Let's wait. Let's make sure that they can answer these questions, and it's okay. It's not like holding off is going to wreck their spiritual journey. It actually can clarify their spiritual journey, which is the whole point of doing this episode, so that parents can listen to it. You know, John, we realize our church needs this podcast episode because we want to make sure to give this to mom and dad, say, please listen to this. because we're really going to trust you to really consider these questions, really think about these questions. So it's not awkward when, if we're sitting down, hopefully this is going to keep us from having to sit down with mom and dad and kids and make it even more awkward on a kid because mom and dad came in and didn't think through these questions. So, you know, ask these questions and really, really just help your kid to answer these. And there's no shame. That's not a bad thing. If you decide, let's just hold off, let's wait. We'll give you some homework assignments to do with your kids to fill that time and make good use of that time.
Absolutely. Because I can tell you from a pastoral perspective, the kids already feel pressure to sit down and talk with the pastor.
Yeah, right.
they get nervous. And so if they've already been able to talk through with mom and dad why they want to get baptized, if they've already been able to talk through with mom and dad their understanding of the gospel, then they can really own that. I can tell in the first 5 minutes of an interview with a child, even up to teenage years, if they are owning this decision, if they've thought through it, or if mom and dad have given them like a cheat sheet of here's what you should say.
I can just
pick it up. And so, yeah, have the conversation with the mom and dad, give them a chance to ask questions. You know, one of the questions that I like to ask children, especially kids, sometimes even adults, but is, you know, baptism, you're getting dunked in the water. Is it getting dunked in the water that washes away your sins? Now we know that, no, that's not, you know, putting my faith in Jesus Christ is what washed away my sins. But again, baptism is a picture of it. Baptism is a way so that other people can kind of visualize the old me has been washed clean, but it's not baptism itself that washes away my sins. I've had many people over the years, both kids and adults, who, when I say, why do you want to get baptized, say, well, I want my sins to be washed away. Well, when I hear that, I'm going to pause and I'm going to say, well, are you telling me that your sins haven't been washed away? So are you still waiting for your sins to be washed away? Or when you put your faith in Jesus and trusted his work on the cross, were your sins washed away? Now, a lot of times they'll say, no, I actually realize my sins have already been washed away. It's just this idea of the water and, you know, water washes things. But just even that, just really making sure they understand it's not the waters of baptism that are going to wash away your sins. Jesus washed away your sins. And you putting your faith in him is what made that happen. But the waters of baptism are a beautiful picture of that.
You know, John, I could hear some parents listening to you explain that and saying, confessing, I don't know if I would have known how to answer that question. So it brings me back to the parents for a second. Mom and dad, if, like, there's no shame in coming to this point in this episode and saying, you know what, I kind of feel like I need to really understand salvation better, the gospel better. I need to understand baptism better, what it is, what it isn't. Maybe, John, we have some moms and dads out there who haven't been baptized, but they're Christians. So let's just pause for a second. What would you say to those parents, one or both of them haven't been baptized and their kids want to get baptized? What would you say to them, to mom and dad right now?
Well, if mom and dad have put their faith in Christ, you know, they're followers of Jesus, they're trusting him for salvation, there's evidence of the Holy Spirit in their life, you know, there's fruit. Again, not perfection.
Right.
You're still going to have habits and hang-ups, but there's evidence in your life that you're a follower of Jesus. Then I would say lead by example, mom and dad. You get baptized.
Yeah.
That's your first step. You lead by example. You know, one of the things that we do in our church, and I know not every church does this, and I'm not being judgmental for churches who don't, but we don't require someone to be ordained to do a baptism at our church. So a lot of our baptisms, when kids are being baptized, it's mom and dad who are doing the baptism. But I only allow that to happen if mom and dad, you know, are followers of Jesus and they've been obedient in believers' baptism. If they haven't done that, then I don't permit a parent to actually do the baptism. So I'd say the first thing, mom and dad, if that describes you, you're a follower of Jesus, but you've never been baptized, be obedient. You know, take that step in obedience and use that as a teaching opportunity for your kids.
Yeah, what if they say, John, that's just embarrassing. I feel like people are going to people are who have gone to church with me, maybe they're in my small group, maybe I even lead a small group, and I'm going to go up there and get baptized. That seems embarrassing. What would you say to that guy?
Well, your brothers and sisters in Christ aren't judging you. They're going to celebrate with you.
Yeah,
That'd be the first thing I would say. Your friends in your small group, your peers at church, they're not going to judge you. They're going to celebrate that you were obedient.
Right.
That, again, just what we've been talking about, you, even though it was awkward, even though you might feel a little nervous or you might feel a little, oh man, I missed the opportunity on this. It's too late for me. They're going to see you just step out in faith and step out in obedience, and they're going to celebrate you for that. They're not going to judge you for that.
And I bet you there might be some of your friends who are in the same boat. So really you're going to model obedience for them, which I think is a great thing. So don't hesitate. Mom, dad, if you're a follower of Jesus, if you know the gospel, you've responded to the gospel, you're a Christian, you should be obedient in the act of baptism. That doesn't mean you haven't been a Christian this whole time. I hope you've been listening to this episode. It just means that for whatever reason, nobody needs to point any fingers. For whatever reason, you never got around to it. You never did the thing that's kind of that simple, you know, first hurdle in faith, in practical obedience and faith. And maybe it's because your church didn't emphasize it, or there could be 100 reasons. Doesn't matter. Be obedient now. Now that you know, as soon as you know what is right to do, you should do it. And so mom and dad, get baptized. And maybe even, John, maybe even it can be a family baptism. And if that were the case, we've done those at our church. How do we do those?
Yeah, how beautiful those are. We just simply baptize mom and dad first, or mom or dad. I mean, even if it's a single family situation, or maybe mom and dad are both believers and mom had previously been baptized, but dad had not, you know, whatever the case may be, we would baptize the parent first and then allow them to baptize their children. And it really is a very special thing. Very, very neat to celebrate, and very, I think, a great picture of mom and dad owning their pastoral role over their kids.
Yeah.
Like mom and dad should be the kids' primary shepherds. Right now, I'm not saying women should be pastors before everybody tries to crucify me on that. I'm complementarian, but I'm just saying mom and dad are the primary pastors of their children. And so how cool is that to see mom and dad taking the lead and taking the ownership and actually performing the baptism? I think it's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, that's good. All right. Super practical question, John. How young is too young? So, you know, mom and dad are going through these questions with their kids, or they're thinking about going through these questions. Is there like can a 2-year-old get baptized? Can a 3-year-old get baptized? Like, what are we talking about here?
I mean, I would hate to say no at any age, but I can't imagine a 2 or 3-year-old articulating the gospel. You definitely have a prodigy on your hands. I think in general, 7, 8, 9 is probably for most children, the earliest age that they're going to really understand and are articulate the gospel. And like you said before, again, it's not just knowing the information in their head, it's recognizing how desperately needy they are for a savior. You know, I think so many adults even just don't realize how desperately we need Jesus. You can't do it on your own. And so if a 6 or 7 or 8-year-old can articulate that, I'm a sinner, and that sin is heinous in God's eyes. Even though he loves me, he hates sin. And the only way I can stand before God and spend eternity with him is to either be perfection or to trust in the perfection of Jesus Christ. And again, they're not going to use all those same words, but if they can articulate that, if they understand that at 6, 7, or 8, I don't think that's too early to baptize. But if they can't, don't force it. Let's be patient. You've used the word patient a couple times, Brian. I think that's a really good word. Be patient and keep moving towards the goal. The goal is baptism. The goal is baptism, and it's absolutely okay for us to have that goal for our kids. So let's keep moving forward. Let's move towards it, even if we're pushing it back a little.
Okay, so let's talk about that on a practical level. What are some things that, okay, mom, dad, you're listening to this. Maybe you've gone and had these conversations. You've really prayerfully considered this, and you think, okay, my child's not ready yet. So, John, what are some practical things mom and dad can do, the family can do together so that the kid knows it's not a hard no. It's a, hey, let's keep growing through this. Let's keep getting ready for this. What are some things they should be doing?
Well, first, don't panic. And the other thing I would say is don't blame yourself, mom and dad. You know, I've had parents who have brought kids in, and as I've done the interview, I can tell the kid's not quite ready. And you can see mom and dad almost feel shame. Like, oh my gosh, I'm a horrible parent. My kids can't articulate the gospel and they're nine. It's all my fault. Like, just, you know, don't make it about you. Mm. It's okay, mom and dad. Don't panic. And just continue to move forward. So how might that look? How do I move forward? Well, continue to have conversations. You know, continue to use resources like Pursue God and the baptism conversations we have on there for kids. Continue to use, you know, your kids' church curriculum that you have at the church where you attend, or Pursue God Kids, and talk about sin, talk about Jesus, talk about why we need a Savior, talk about grace. Have those conversations. Read the Bible together. You know, let your child read through Bible stories with you. Give them an opportunity to participate and not just, you know, be a kind of a passive participant. And then just model it in your home. So again, if you haven't been baptized, have you modeled that for them? Let them see grace in your home. Remind them that our salvation is not, it's not hinged on this work of baptism. Baptism is something we do afterwards to show that we've been saved by grace, to show that we've put our faith in Jesus Christ. And then when that time does come, let's make it a big deal. Let's celebrate it. Let's go all out. You know, let's be excited about it. We should be excited about it. The angels in heaven are excited about it. We know they rejoice when someone comes to salvation. And I bet there's also a little partying going on when someone takes that step of obedience in believer's baptism.
That's good. I think that's helpful, John. I think hopefully parents have the tools that they need now to just really prayerfully consider this, have conversations. Don't be afraid to talk about it with your kids. I know every family's a little bit different, but my wife, Tracy, the one who leads this family podcast, she's so good at getting to conversations and making sure you're talking about it. So parents, don't be afraid to talk about this with your kids. Don't be intimidated to talk about this with your kids. The tools are there at pursuegodkids.org or at pursuegod.org in the kids category. Those tools are all there to help you to have these conversations. Be intentional about moving the ball forward. If your kid's not ready yet, keep talking about it. Get ready to celebrate it. Trust that God is going to open the eyes of your kids, and then celebrate with them when they get baptized.
Thanks for listening. Don't forget to share this episode with a friend. Find more resources to talk about these topics with your small group, family, or mentor on pursuegod.org.